Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com.
Hey, welcome to Drinking Bros.
Drinking Bros. Wow.
Kids, man, I am.
Where we drink a lot.
We are drinking a lot. We got a new sponsor.
I drank a lot last week.
Did you get fucked up?
Every day.
Are we allowed to say where you were last week?
8 days. Yeah. It's no secret. I mean, there's a Fox News special coming out about it.
No shit.
Yeah.
Right, fire away. Tell the audience, because I was pretty stunned myself. You are one of those people who show up around the world with different celebrities, and every time I'm stunned. But this one, I was like, wait, what? It was like 9 celebrities in a row of all complete different backgrounds.
Oh, man. Yeah, the list is long. My friends.
Yeah. Like, read it off to the audience. Who are you with
I
last
flew,
week?
And again, like, you know, Tim Montana is a lot like me. Like, he gives you very little information and just kind of says, hey, show up here on this date.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. So I flew into Nashville early morning, like 7 a.m. I got in at 9. I Ubered to his house. As soon as I got out of the Uber, I literally got into his Suburban, and we drive to a hotel in downtown Nashville and pick up Charlie Sheen, which is me, Tim Montana, and Charlie Sheen.
Now. Okay, I'm gonna stop you right there, Charlie Sheen, because you wrote a song.
Whoa!
Where the main
we just don't, you know. I mean, just think about
that. Was
that,
actually,
you know,
a bridge at the end of the song.
Three and a half
choruses.
Years ago,
sure.
We never thought that we would be sitting near Charlie Sheen.
What are the chances of that?
I know. It's like, I mean, and trust me, some of the Drinking Bros fans were not at all forgiving or polite when I posted that picture.
It's really funny, though.
It is, but it's also kind of like, all right, guys, like, now he's kind of in our fold. Like, let's take it a little easy.
Because
he was
Drinking
actually,
Bros.
He was one of the great, like one of the nicest people that I've met yet, you know?
Yeah, that's what everybody says. He's like the nicest dude ever.
Truly engaging, like... He still doesn't believe that, like, his movies have that the magnitude of what they have on our generation.
Oh yeah,
like U.S. Navy SEALs, Hot Shots, like all like
Eight
like,
Men Out,
dude. You know, Men at Work. Like he was surprised. He was like, "You saw Men at Work?" I was like, "I watched Men at Work like 30 times."
Same, dude. I loved it. Did you tell me Keith David in the movie?
Emilio.
Yeah, yes. I did. Because he was like, oh, I worked with Keith David once. Wasn't Keith David in Platoon too?
Yeah.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
I just watched that on the plane when we were coming back from Austin, actually. And there was
was also surprised. I told him, you know, I was like, we're good friends with Dale Dye. And I was like, you know, he has amazing things to say about you and Johnny Depp. And
I remember that.
You put out in the Basic Training. He's like, oh, man, really? He said that?
Charlie Sheen would be a great interview. Because he's a real motherfucker. He'll sit down
and
tell you everything.
Yeah. And you know, he's not PC.
No.
Like, I mean, he was going, you know, we were talking about some fun things in the car and, you know, he's like, oh, fuck that. Fuck them. Like,
yeah.
Like, and I'm like, okay, this dude's cool. Like, yeah, he's fucking rad.
Well, Charlie's worth a bajillion dollars.
He is. Yes. And well,
is it a bajillion?
It's close. He was getting $1 million per episode on 2.5 Men for a very, very, very long time.
And then that last show he did also came in. At 100 episodes, right?
Yeah.
Anger Management?
They were doing this thing for a while, Jared, where they were picking up 10 episodes. If the ratings did well on FX, then they would pick up 90. So
Holy shit.
Yeah, so he did that as well right afterwards. You know.
But, like, you know, we went directly to CMT headquarters, and we did a couple CMT shows, like what Tim and Charlie did. And it's just, dude, he was polite to every piece of the crew, you know. After they're done, he walked up to the first AD. He's like, man, you know, you did a great job, you know, feeding us what we needed to do. And we, you know, we were able to do it. And like, the dude's just in shock. Like, this guy's thanking me right now for
for being for doing my job and being awesome. Now for the audience, because we know this, I don't know if the audience does. Charlie Sheen directed Tim Montana's new video, right?
Yeah, and the video debuts in the next week, I think. I'm going to have to ask him. It might be November. It might be the beginning of November. I have to ask.
But awesome. We'll share it on the Drinking Bros podcast page. Yeah.
Yeah. And Charlie, he had heard the song that Tim wrote, and for whatever reason, Charlie connected with it and was like, you know, I've never directed a music video. And he surprised Tim by bringing the red convertible from Navy SEALs to be in the video.
No way.
That's the one that got towed and he drove off the back of the truck, right?
Yes, yes.
Does he own that car in real life?
Yes, that is his car.
That is fucking great. He used to have a bunch of cool shit too with like baseball players.
He loves baseball.
Loves
baseball.
Yeah. And he had all this crazy memorabilia that he was selling at like the most rare.
He had Babe Ruth's bones, I believe.
Yeah,
he did. Yeah.
A shin bone.
Yeah, and he puts it on his shin, yep. Tapes it on there, and then goes to the batting cage every weekend.
Every weekend he does that.
Yeah, it's really. I don't know what he gets out of it, but whatever it is, it's making him happy. That's what matters.
He's hitting line drives every ball. Yeah. Every ball. Who else was there with you, Jared? Because this we didn't just stop at Tim Montana.
Ross, you're
and Charlie
gonna like
Sheen.
This. He said that that there is a script for Major League Two, and
well, Major League Two came out 30 years ago,
another one.
Yes,
a third one. Yeah.
So no, that would be a fourth one because there was a Major League Three that was in the minor leagues, and it was Scott Bakula.
Yeah, but that look, they're
it was terrible.
It was terrible. Like, and they sell these off for DVD rights, but I know what you're talking about with the original cast. I actually know about this.
Well, they got to do it before Bob Uecker dies.
Yeah. Well,
so no, for real, he's old as shit.
Charlie loved Major League. So all over town, man, I would say probably for the better part of the last 5 years, he has been shopping this script and then even looking for independent money to shoot Major League with the old cast back.
How much money does he need to do it?
Man, shooting a baseball movie is expensive. It's a minimum of 25. You could get away with it at 30, I think. You know, you take a movie like The Rookie with like Dennis Quaid. I think that was a $30 million budget, 35.
Yeah. So. Well, they rented out Tampa Bay's stadium for like 3 days.
And it's extras, man.
And filled it with 40,000 extras.
Yes.
Like,
so like, it's the extras that cost a lot because you got to feed them, house them, clothe them, all that other shit and pay them. And it's like some are there for free, some are
what's
on union.
What's scale per day now?
For an extra, like a union extra, it's probably
like 150. Like,
yeah, 195. Oh,
fuck that! 30,000 of those motherfuckers in one day,
bro.
No way.
No.
The logistics behind paying them—not even that money—but the logistics behind paying them probably adds 40 to 60% to that cost.
Parking. So you always gotta pay for parking.
Well, in Tampa Bay, that's easy.
Permits. Yeah.
No one wants to go there.
Obviously.
No one's going to their fucking playoff game. So.
Yeah, and who else were you with, Jared?
We had Travis Pastrana.
Yep.
You know, he seems to be a fan fave.
Yep.
Which Tim and Travis together, they are both like, you know, I think I'm a heavy drinker. Like those two can go.
Really?
So it's like to keep
who wins in that battle?
You know what? It's a toss up.
No shit.
Yeah. Cause they go, you know, Tim's trained and so is Travis.
Yeah.
Like Tim's a traveling musician.
Yes.
And he's a traveling musician that goes hard.
And Travis is an athlete that has broken everything in his body, and he's drinking the pain away. So,
Rob O'Neill.
Yeah.
Which.
Rob O'Neill can fucking drink, too. That asshole almost blacked me out.
So, at 1 o'clock in the morning, we're in a back alleyway off Broadway. Like, in a no-shit alleyway. Like, water's dripping down, like, everything. Like, there's a waitress delivering us. Just full plate after plate of vodka sodas. And we're just like, everybody's just taking like two down, putting it on the tray, and she'd come back with a fresh one.
Oof.
And Rob is telling the story to everybody that hasn't heard it in person. You know, obviously we've heard it before when he's on the show. And
killing
like
Bin Laden,
but Pastrana hadn't heard it and things like that. And it's just like, you know, he tapped me. He's like, oh my God. Like, this is one of those moments where it's like, no one will ever believe that this happened. And then me and Travis went back to Rob's house, his new house in Nashville, which mm-hmm. is huge. I got lost in it. And like, he was showing us his cool toilet and like Travis sat down and tried it out.
Well, Nashville is like, yeah, Nashville is one of those few cities where you can still get land. Hollywood hasn't completely invaded it yet. And yeah. you can get a great house for, you know, a decent price there.
Yeah, his house was awesome. So we went back there, and then there's somebody else with us. Who am I forgetting? But they it was a stripper, Josh. Have you guys met stripper? Yeah, you know stripper Josh.
Do I?
Yeah, he was the remember when we were in Vegas for the jump and like the prettiest dude of Nitro Circus tattoo with blue eyes that got us into the pool. Yeah. Yeah, so stripper Josh was there.
Oh, gotcha.
And
all right.
like I get woken up because we're supposed to go to this charity event. Like Tim's supposed to be there the first shoot, and Travis is shooting on the first shoot at 7:30 in the morning. So like Tim did not leave with us. He went home and he was like, okay, I'll leave the bus on so you guys can sleep on the bus. So like at 6, me, stripper Josh, and Travis take an Uber to Tim's house, and we just quietly go and get in the bunks on the bus. And then you hear like Tim outside, he's like, I don't know where they are, they never came home. And then he like comes in and we're all there. He's like, what the fuck?
No
so
way.
he gets in the bus and drives the bus to the charity event, and Travis goes and shoots. And then the whole thing kicks off.
Did you guys shower or anything, or was it just, hey man, we're on the fucking tour bus? And then,
I mean, when I woke up, I showered on the tour bus. I mean, it's a tour bus.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, I jumped in and fucking got a shower and came out all fresh at about, you know, an early to mid 11.
Yeah. Did you
almost a nooner? Almost a nooner. Yeah.
Did you condition your hair?
I washed it. I only had shampoo, so I had to use it for everything.
I've been using conditioner lately.
Yeah.
Mostly on my pubes because they were getting too coarse.
You've got to.
Yeah, obviously. But now they're soft. I feel like I could almost put relaxer in them now and straighten them.
Yeah, give it a go.
Like I'm getting close.
Give it a go. So, I'm proud of you, Jared, because usually you don't use shampoo. Usually you just use body wash. So that's actually a step up.
Toothpaste. It's just toothpaste all over.
Yeah, that's a step up for you. So use shampoo.
So then... Me and Travis shot the trap round, which is like 14 rounds. It's almost like golf. So you're in golf carts. You go to a station. You do skeet, shoot, and then go to the next station with your team. And I was doing horrible because, you know, I'm still hungover as shit and like feeling like garbage. So, you know, shooting a shotgun for 4 hours isn't exactly great for that situation.
Yeah, not at all.
But I still just kept claiming to be beating Travis, even though he won out of the whole team. Like, again, like you talk about somebody that's good at everything that he does. Like he had never done this before and like scored, it was 100 rounds. He got 75. And beat everybody.
Well, he's that guy that does like on the go gorilla. Like he would probably be a great sniper because he does gorilla math in his head really easily. Like for that jump in Phoenix for World 2, he was just
Action Figures 2.
Yeah, he jumped and he was like, okay, with the bike on it, it's this much more weight. We're gonna need to be going this many miles per hour. And Jared told me the story. I'm like, there's no fucking way. It's like, yeah, he hit it on the first try. I'm like, God damn it, dude.
Man.
Can you imagine being that good at something?
Yeah. Yeah, I can. I'm pretty much
so then,
a lot of things.
Although he's drunk enough most of the time that you can do what you did and gaslight him into believing you're beating him.
Yeah.
Like you could
totally
get away with that.
Anytime the cameras came around us for Fox or anybody, I'm like, yeah, so I'm still beating Travis. And he'd be like, hey, no, you're not. Like I'm running back. Like, so I was just lying.
Yeah.
Because it was easier than being good at it.
Oh yeah, it's always easier to lie.
Always.
So then we go back. They've got an open bar.
Of course they do.
Tim Montana, you know, two bar girls.
Yeah.
Obviously the first words out of my mouth were, guess who's single?
Yeah. How'd that work out?
Great.
Did it really? Is Jenna Bond one of these ladies?
I was hanging out with one for a few days.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
All of a sudden you're fucking pulling punches and being coy? Get fucked up. So what happened?
What happened, Jared?
Well, there's more to this night. We, Tim Montana plays a full show. We get up, I get up to sing a song with him, and it turns into an 8-minute mashup to where they were playing just, the whole band was playing these chords, and it turned into me and Tim drunk singing different songs to these chords in the same time without like a gap. So we're almost like challenging each other for somebody to choke up.
Yeah. How many people are watching this at this point?
There's a few hundred, but I mean, it was thinning out, you know, because it was a Tuesday night.
Sure. Sure.
And then, so we drink our asses off that night. We get on the bus cause there was a bus driver. So now like we're pretty much living the band life at this point. Uh-huh. We sleep in the bunks, which I'm the opposite of claustrophobic. Like those bus bunks were like the greatest thing in the world.
Yeah. You like small spaces.
Yeah. And yeah. They have like their own AC vents and like a charger for your phone. I was like the most comfortable.
Is there anywhere to put your dick?
If you have somebody in there with
no,
you.
No. I mean,
did
like,
you fuck on that bus?
No.
Okay. That would have been legendary. Yeah.
So we drive back to Tim's house. Everybody's raging. I pass out on his couch in the garage, which is set up like a studio, with double fisting White Claws. So I woke up and I dumped White Claw all over myself because I just went to sleep with two White Claws in my hands.
Beauty of that doesn't leave a stain.
No, you know? Not at all. No stains.
No.
Like which seltzer. Is good because I was out of clothes. So I just had to kind of shake it off. I just had to Taylor Swift it, you know? So Tim comes like burning through the garage door at about 10 with Travis. Travis had slept on the bus, I guess. I don't even know. I kind of came to, and Tim's just like, hey, Michael Ray's on his way over, who's a big country star, big pop country star. He's like, we're going to Kid Rock's house.
What?
And I was like, okay. And I was like, and I was texting Jason Rao from Breaking Benjamin because he lives in Nashville. I was like, come over and hang out. I was like, can Jason come with us? He's like, fuck yeah. So Jason pulls up into the driveway. All of us jump into Michael's Jeep and we drive to Kid Rock's house.
Fuck. So he fully lives there in Nashville, Kid Rock.
Well, he's in the process of leaving Michigan.
Okay, gotcha, gotcha.
But this is like his be all end all compound. It's really rad. Like we got to see the house that he's building up on his hill. He built a church. There's a bar in it.
A church. Like, Kid Rock's got a church.
Not? Yeah, he's like, why the fuck not?
Oh, that's great. Ask you, does he own the original General Lee? Is that true?
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
It is true. From Dukes of Hazzard.
There's a picture of us in front of it.
I know, but I didn't know if it was a replica or like the actual one from the TV show.
From what he said is there were seven that they made. That is one of the seven.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that thing was in like mint condition.
Oh yeah. It's beautiful. He also has like Hank William Jr.'s first car, like, he has a bunch. I was still like enamored at what was going on, but like everybody's also like the guys are also drinking still heavily. Like me, Travis, Tim, like not the driver, obviously. Like and Kid Rock's just like, yeah, fucking have all the beers you want. But he has this beautiful, huge. It's a huge, like steel building, massive. It's got a full blown studio in it. Like the most beautiful recording studio I've ever seen. A bunch of offices. He's got like a whole wardrobe room and prop room and like a golf simulator upstairs.
Does Kid Rock really need a wardrobe? Because it's just like cut off
but
t-shirts.
But it's
and
just
stuff,
like
right?
Like from all the everything that you've ever seen in music videos, he had it all on racks. And
oh,
shit
like that,
upstairs.
Like the mink coats and all that other shit.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And he's got all kinds of cool memorabilia in there. Like,
does he got anybody's bones?
He's got, I don't know about anybody's bones, but he does have a signed, like a note from Johnny Cash to him.
Really?
Yeah, it was cool.
That's real cool. Shit.
And then you go out, and he's super into pickleball. So he has a full pickleball court in there.
What the fuck is pickleball?
Yeah, what's pickleball?
I don't really know. but the other guys seemed to know, so I just shook my head and was like, oh, yeah.
Look up Dan, look up pickleball real quick.
I think it's
I'm
the
curious.
One where you've got those curved, like, launchers.
Like highlight?
I don't know. Maybe.
It's a flat paddle, And it's it's like mini tennis, basically.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Okay, I've seen those. Yeah, if he was in a highlight, I'd be like, wow, that's a weird hobby to take up.
Yeah, that's mostly South and Central Americans, right?
Yeah, and Miami. It's big in Miami.
But like, so he decorates all his shit. Because I was like, it looks so cool in there. Like, it looks similar themed like a Black Rifle coffee shop. Like, mm-hmm. a lot of rust, like steel and wood and things like that. And I was like, dude, the design in here is so cool. He's like, yeah, well, that's what happens when you fire these fucking interior designers and just do it yourself. And it was just cool as shit. Like, if you just Detroit was an interior, that's what it looked like.
Well, I mean, look, if Detroit was an interior, it would be on fire. Probably, right?
Yeah.
But it was just beautiful. Everything, I was trying to be cool and respectful, so I didn't take any pictures or video other than us in front of the cars, but it was super fun. And he's fun as hell. Like, I mean, Tim and Travis,
man,
were like, can we jump off your deck into your lake? He's like, well, fuck, I don't care.
That's amazing. I've always wanted to fucking party with Kid Rock. You know that beer is his own, right? He's got his own beer.
Oh, what beer is it?
Fuck, man. It's look up Kid Rock's beer. He's got a distribution deal with it. And I think it's slowly rolling out into every state.
It's called Badass Beer.
That's it. Badass Beer. And yeah, man, that guy just fucking lives life right.
But he was so nice. So nice. And his girlfriend or fiance came out and hung out for a little bit. And like, then he's like, man, I got to go to this charity event. And we're like, all right, we'll take off. So we leave.
Yeah.
And then Tim starts FaceTiming a country singer named Jake Owen. And he's like,
yeah,
what are you doing? He's like, drinking beer at my bar. He's like, we're coming over. He goes, all right.
No shit. What a weird day.
We drive all the way out there. And again, it's almost like, oh, by the way, like, I know Tim and Bob have a history of like this. They've been friends for a long time, but they both get super hammered and fight with each other a lot. Like, they've wrestled like 12 times, like real wrestle. And I'm not going to say it, but he was telling Michael when we were at his gate, he's like, yell this word. And I was like, come on, Tim, like, you're drunk. Like, don't get us fucking kicked out of here before we're even in to the speaker box. And he's like, no, just yell this word. And you hear somebody come over the speaker box, hello, and Tim just screams this word, and he screams it back at him, and the gate opens.
Are we allowed to know the word?
No, okay. Because that's the password.
It's their trigger word to start fighting.
But, yeah. All right, cool. but it was like calling somebody a name, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm thinking like, Tim, come on, just don't be a fucking, you know, don't get a, I know this is your buddy, but like, you know, I didn't know that this was the deal. So that was kind of a funny surprise.
That's hilarious. I also, by the way, this didn't go unnoticed. I liked how you name dropped and called him Bob.
Wow,
that's his real name.
It is. It's kind of, you know, it's kind of weird, you know, calling somebody Kid Rock or Wee Man.
Yeah. So how did you introduce yourself? Hi, Mr. Rock. Like, what do you say?
No, he does it right away. He's like, hey, man, I'm Bob.
Okay, like, good. You always wonder where it's like, hey, man, like The Rock, right?
But
you're going to meet The Rock. Do you call him The Rock?
No, you say Rock, comma, The, I believe.
Do you call him Dwayne? Like, what do you do in
now,
that stitch?
You'll get a kick out of this because there's a radio tower that is kind of prominent on that you can see from his property.
Uh-huh.
And he's standing there and he's looking at Travis. He goes, you know what I would love, Travis? And Travis is like, what's that? And he's like, I'd love to walk out on my porch and see a giant Trump flag hanging from that tower. And I'm like,
dude,
I go, Bob, you know, that's the wrong person to tell something like this to. And Travis is looking at the tower. He's like, yep.
Oh, yeah. That thing would be waving high. Because I've already seen those Trump 2020 flags. Those are already out, like, all over the beaches. And
did you
and
see
shit.
That somebody had Trump sign the misprint of Time magazine with Madam President?
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, my God. That's great.
Yeah, that came out like 3 days ago.
Did
like
you
some,
see? Did you see?
Somebody came up to him and was like, hey, would you sign this for me? And he signed it right on her face.
Classic Trump. That's so great. I wonder how much that fucking thing's worth.
Who knows?
Yeah.
They've been talking shit to each other again.
Oh, yeah.
So Jake's house was fucking awesome. He had like a cool barn bar with like a... a music stage and everything. And like, dude, it was just a cool setup. We had a couple drinks there. He had hired a chef because it was his fiance's birthday that night.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that the chef was a white devil. So like when I walked in, Dan, this dude was like, "No fucking way." And Jake's like, "What the fuck?"
White Devil is one of the units in the 87.
Yeah, it's one of the first of the 504.
Yeah. It's not a Quincy Orcha like from Ace Ventura When Nature Calls or anything.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Of course. That's fucking crazy, dude.
So then Travis has to get to the airport. Tim is falling over. Like on top of me and
blackout drunk.
Yeah, he's definitely done. So me and Jason, you know, we kind of just were taking it easy. So we're like, we still got to go out tonight. So we have Tim get picked up at a Chili's and take an Uber home. And me and Jason went back down into downtown Nashville and ended up going out. And it was fun. That place is fun.
And then you had sex.
What? No.
No. Yes, you did.
Did you bang Jason Rao?
No, I did not.
You like, said you had a few days with a lady. Who was this lady? Where did you meet her?
What's her name and date of birth?
Yes. What's her DOB and her social?
I don't know. I don't know what the name was.
Okay.
Well, the name's not important. Let's get a picture of her up on the screen.
Yep. Let's pop a picture up.
Yeah, go ahead and throw the photo up.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's fucking great, dude. Did it make you want to move to Nashville?
No. I mean, I like where I live, but I'm definitely going to spend time in Nashville.
Yeah.
Because we got a lot done out there. In the short time that we were there, we did something that could be life altering.
Yes, you recorded some music, which is incredible, by the way.
We did. And have you heard the most recent version yet?
I haven't. I can tell you this from the rough that Matt sent me. You're on the cusp of greatness. I got to hear the new verses, though.
We should have the rough master this afternoon with every part completed. But Matt did sing the second verse with an accent.
Yeah.
You're going to be in tears.
Okay, what accent? What accent?
A hardcore country accent.
Country. We were going. This is a country song. Yeah.
We were going and over it the other night at like
really funny
midnight. Yeah. If he does what we were talking about, it should be absolutely fucking legendary.
Oh, I just got back from his house and we were discussing the music video and we're like, dude, this is, I hope we get an RIAA award for this one.
Is he going to shoot it in Nashville too?
Yes, we're going back to Nashville.
Great, great.
Because we will be including quite a few of country celebrities in this one. Because they all are talking about it. They're like, this song is so ridiculous, but it's so good.
And that'll be the November trip, right?
Yes.
Okay, great, great. Fuck, that's going to be awesome.
When in November?
We right haven't. It's not locked.
We got to go to Bragg the second weekend or something.
It's the 14th that we're in Bragg.
Okay. Yeah. But if these dates work out, it'll be awesome, and it'd be fucking rad to get Kid Rock on the show.
Yeah, there you go.
I think
we'd have a blast.
Charlie Sheen doesn't live there, right? He's still in L.A.
No, he lives in L.A. Okay,
he's trying to get out of L.A. though, isn't he?
I think so.
Yeah.
At this point.
Well, no. He just moved to Malibu.
Oh, okay. Good for him.
Because he said he was from Malibu. He wanted to go back. He's having a good time living back there. But
okay,
good
fun
for
guy.
Him.
Super right fun on. Guy. All of those guys. Everybody was fun. I didn't meet anybody that was dumb.
Fuck yeah, that's great.
We went to a bar called Santa's.
Huh?
You remember that text I sent you?
Yeah.
It was like, you ever see Tim Montana sing Garth Brooks karaoke at 1 in the morning in a bar in a double wide called Santa's?
You can really get lost in some shithole bars in Nashville.
So I'm sorry, the bar was in a double wide trailer?
Yes.
Yes, it's a double wide trailer. Yep. It's beer only. There are three rules. No alcohol on the stage, no smoking on the stage, and no cursing in the microphone.
I didn't know about the cursing thing. That's really rough. Funny. Yeah. But there is a lot of shitty dive bars in Nashville where you can still smoke inside. And when you walk in, you're like, whoa, you can just smoke cigarettes in here. That's people are still doing that. There is some Nashville bars where they just don't give a fuck.
It was super fun.
It's like, fucking Nashville.
Yeah.
Santa's.
That's great. Look, we got some sponsors who pay for this whole fucking shit wagon to be on the air. First and foremost, talking about GhostBed.com/drinking bros. Your mattress is on the way, Jared. You got a Ghost Lex, a king headed your way. So
excited.
Pop it up on your stories, by the way, and swipe up to go to GhostBed.com/drinking bros. Where, as always, 36-month pay-as-you-go program. No interest, man. So it works out to like $38 or something crazy. It's almost like fucking stealing. I can't believe they're doing that. By the way,
they've lost their minds.
Yes.
So
I didn't know it was only $38 though.
Let's all benefit from it.
Yeah, we've had them on as a sponsor for.
Let's all benefit
from it.
A Ghost Bed
from GhostBed.com.
There's gonna be so much cat puke fucking on those beds.
Goddamn right.
A lot of hard years on that bed.
You coming
know
it. Your
you
way.
Know I'm not stopping. I'm just starting.
Yeah, you are. God damn it. If you're military or first responder, you get 15% off everything in the store. Pillows, mattresses, sheets, you name it. GhostBed.com/drinking bros is bringing it to you. God damn it, man. They've got a Halloween special and a Black Friday special coming up that's going to shock your dick holes off. Next up, we got Felix Gray. This is D'Anthony's company, by the way.
Yeah,
because you're in front of a computer all day. You wore these glasses, and then they reached out, and they're like, hey, man, let's fucking do it.
Yeah, so, they saw us wearing the glasses on the show.
Yeah. Tell the audience about what it is.
Well, I mean, look, they're glasses that are made to block the blue light, filter out blue light.
Yes.
Which is what's on your phone, your fucking computer, your television, all this shit. If you have, like, migraines or dizziness or any kind of weird shit from being on screens too long, this will solve that problem.
Yes. And the thing with it is, because a lot of people wrote in, they're like, hey man, is Dan like becoming a hipster? And I was like, no, actually it's from staring at a computer screen, and they make these fucking glasses.
Yeah,
it'll protect your eyes. Look, they come in like a million different shapes, sizes, colors, and they're all fucking cool, man. I mean, you can go to Lens Crafters and drop a fucking grande on them.
Yeah.
You can go to felixgray.com/drinking bros and get some of these glasses, because, look, man, they fucking help. You've been wearing them for a very long time.
Yeah,
real life.
They run those deals where you can try them out for a month and send it back if it doesn't work.
Yeah, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Again, felixgray.com/drinking bros. Free shipping. Comes right to your
house. It's FelixGrayGlasses.com.
Oh, FelixGrayGlasses.com. Yeah. Ooh, sorry about that. Yeah. FelixGrayGlasses.com/drinking bros. Again, FelixGrayGlasses.com/drinking bros. You've been literally wearing these for months, and it's awesome that they reached out and they're now a sponsor.
Well, the good thing about them is that most of these glasses have like a bright yellow tint.
Yes.
Because the chemical compound that filters the blue light out is yellow naturally.
Yep.
They found a way to, I don't know what they did, but they ground it up with the glass and then reformed it, and you can't see. You can see that it's completely clear now.
Yeah, it's completely clear, and there is no color to it. However, when you're looking at stuff, it blocks out the screen. And then also, they also said for like an extra $20 if you're, you know, if you need a prescription on top of that, like they'll do that for you. So go to felixgrayglasses.com/drinking bros today. Next up, Jared, this is the shit, by the way. The
what?
Fucking shit. I don't think you have this yet, man. This KillcliffCBD.com?
Oh, yeah, I've had it.
Dude, is that the best of all time? I know Rogan posted it, and we did too, and everybody hit us up, and they were like, dude, Rogan posted it. I want to go on record and say KillcliffCBD.com sent us the very first cans. We had those first.
They sent us like a blank can.
Drank them, and they were fucking amazing, and I said, look, these are going to sell out, and that's exactly what happened. They are back in stock. They've got fucking cases on cases on cases. I ordered 8 cases when they came back. Yeah. Promo code Drinking Bros, 20% off at KillcliffCBD.com.
That really gets some CBD drinks down
God
low.
Damn it, doesn't it? So they got 25 milligrams in the can. No THC, so you're good to go.
I think that knocks it down to under $5 a can, too. And by the way, I talked to those guys today, and there's some new shit coming out.
Uh-huh.
I can't tell you yet, but this stuff is blowing up.
Oh, yeah.
There's new stuff coming out soon.
I said, look, as soon as this goes live, 48 hours are going to be sold out.
Yeah.
Just be prepared. They were. They got it back in stock. KillcliffCBD.com. Promo code Drinking Bros gets you free shipping and 20% off. Shit's like $4 a can. It's the same as like Monster, except you get CBD in it. Nobody's offering that. And then last but not least, Anthony, who do we got?
Let's see. Let's go with Roman ED.
Roman. Let's get your boners up, dude. You were taking that on the cruise.
Man, you know what? So last night I went to Air Force Basic Training to speak to those guys out there that were going through one of the Air Force Special Warfare segregated core classes. So like they put all those guys in one basic training flight. So I talked to them for about 2 hours, and when we went to questions, one of the dudes asked me, did you bring any Roman for us?
You should have just pulled your dick out and said, well, I took it all before I got here.
I took it all before I got here. GetRoman.com.
Check out this hog.
/drinking bros. Look, it's...
check out this hog.
Yeah, that should be their new slogan. Check out this
hog. Let's ask them if we could do that.
Oh, yeah, we can.
Make him a logo with a pig on it.
Yeah.
And it just says, check out this hog.
Check out this hog.
It's like, it's a hog with a bikini on it, just posing. Oh, check out this hog.
Check out this hog. Go to GetRoman.com/drinking bros today. That'll get you free doctor's visit, free shipping, and it's online. So the doctor's visit is online. You don't have to go into your female doctor or your family practitioner and say, hey, doc, I'm a little problem with my bone. Can you help me? They're not going to give you boner pills unless you admit to fucking having erectile dysfunction.
By the way, if you're going to do that, that's the way to do it in that exact voice.
Yeah.
Hey, can you help me with my bone?
My dick don't work.
My dick don't work. It's real floppy.
I recommend.
Real floppy.
You should really be taking these. Forget about the doctors. You should be taking these recreationally.
Yeah.
We had a.
Feels a little bit like a banana peel.
It's real soft, my ding dong.
I don't remember. I don't know if you guys remember this.
My ding dong's broken.
I don't know if you guys remember this, but do you remember that that dude who wrote into Drinker Bros and his wife was pissed off at him because he was fucking her too much?
Yes, on the Roman. Yeah. That's a true story, by the way. He was like, dude, after the fourth round.
My ding-dong's pulling a Barbara Streisand.
Oh, it's real saggy, my ding-dong. Oh.
It's like you have a permanent Beto-dong.
If you got a Beto dong out
hashtag,
there.
Hashtag Beto dong.
Yeah, hashtag Beto dong. If you got a Beto dong, go to fucking get Roman.
Yeah, I heard to bang his wife, he has to build himself a dick splint.
No, he folds it in half and puts one of her hair ties around it, and he just slides it in.
I like a dick splint, though, a lot, though. Just two little popsicle sticks on the side of it.
Beto, you fucking piece of shit.
I use shoehorns.
Yeah.
That way, if I need to make extra room in there, I can pry that bastard open.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no, I use an electric egg beater.
You have to. Some say you have to.
The only problem is the lips will get caught up in that stuff, and then it'll fuck the engine up over time.
Well, that's why you don't put both prongs on it, Dan. You put one prong, get it in.
Yep.
And then hit it.
And that's true.
That's how you can get the walls clean.
I'd like to take an egg beater to my balls, like right when I'm about to ejaculate. You know, just have that spin up. Right,
I would worry
there.
About it getting caught.
Well, maybe just the vibration, though.
The balls tighten up, though. The sack
there's
tightens
something,
up.
There's something else that you can use that's less dangerous.
Nah, I don't think it can.
It's
actually
a second woman, and it's her mouth.
It's her mouth.
Yeah.
Speaking of a second woman in her mouth, dude, you and I were up late the other night having a weird conversation, and I want to share this with the audience.
Because
I was like, man, are we allowed to say this to the audience?
Are you guys, were you high, or what was the, give me,
no,
the,
not at
give
all.
Me some context.
No, I actually think we were sober, man. And
I just called him because I was thinking about it.
Yeah, and it was so weird that I was like, holy shit, I didn't think about it. Basically, what you were saying was, man, we live in a generation where everybody's texting and or sending nudes, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, just texting and constant contact in general with Facebook, Instagram, and iMessage.
Mm-hmm.
You have this contact. People aren't really changing their phone numbers anymore.
No.
Like, that's not a thing unless you get like a weird stalker or something. Like,
well, you and I have had the same phone numbers since we've known each other, and that's over a decade.
I've had the same phone number since 2003.
I've had the same one since 98, I think.
I did. I was in high school. Somebody leaked mine like a year ago, man, and I had to get a new one.
So it's like things are only progressing in that direction. We're the first generation that when we're like 70 years old, just mm-hmm. sitting on a couch, retired. Like maybe our wife died already or something.
Yeah.
We can text any old fling that we want. And yes. then what's even funnier is you got nudes of her from 30 years prior.
What's even funnier than that is that we'll have grown up with hip hop culture, so we'll probably call her a trap queen.
Oh, yeah. Like, and it's true. Like, our oldie station will be like,
bitch, you know, ho.
Yeah, fucking straight out of Compton. And you're like, oh,
or
man.
Do you think the classics? Think by then, classics. All that,
do you remember how the LAPD used to beat up black people?
Yeah.
It's like, oh.
Well, or do you think all of that will be banned?
Who knows?
You know, it's funny you said that, man. I just had this conversation with Jesse, and I said yes. I think in 20, 25 years, they'll be banning movies, books, and music from that period of time, and they'll just be like, nah, it's too much, man. Because I get emails a lot now that Universal sold Pool Boy to fucking Amazon Prime, and people are just discovering it for the first time, and they're like, Jesus Christ, dude, I don't know how you can make this today, or how did you make it then? And that's too, some of the shit was, you know, too racist or too whatever. And I was just like, that was comedy. That is comedy.
Yeah.
But I would be surprised
if
they don't
start banning
movies. The culture
now is like now I wish somebody would just fucking pull the power from these guys when they're like, we dug up a tweet from 12 years ago.
Exactly.
Like 12 years ago, a majority of the population did not agree with gays.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, I'm sorry, that was just the social norm. Like, okay, we progressed, but you can't hate on somebody for what they said that was a social norm 12 years ago now.
Yeah.
It's like a lot of those people changed their mind.
But if you look at it, because here's the interesting part about it, is if you look at it, the way they're tearing down like Civil War statues and musicians and all of that shit, that woman they got rid of at the Islanders game who sang,
yeah.
you know, the anthem or whatever. Mm-hmm. More and more, it's just going to come to the decades we were in. So by the time, we're in our 70s, half of this shit, I think, will be ripped away. Or you'll have to bootleg it at some weird store.
Well, you don't have to rip it away. All you have to do is put pressure on the media conglomerates that publish it, right? Because somebody's going to own the rights to this music and these films. And if it's Netflix or whomever, they just don't post it anymore, then you can't get it.
Right.
Unless you have your own digital copy somewhere.
Yeah, because, I mean, you look at the Trump thing, for example, right? Mark Burnett owns all of the tapes from The Apprentice. He owns all of the bloopers, the outtakes, the behind the scenes, the fucking sound files, all of it. And there was, at one point, a protest in Hollywood where they showed up at his office and they were like, we want the fucking tapes, we want everything in the vault. And he's like, no, you can go fuck yourself. Like, that was a TV show. Whatever people said off camera, whatever, you know, because the grab him by the pussy thing was an off camera thing that was supposed to be left in the editing, you know, floor. Obviously, it wasn't part of the show. And they're saying, well, you know, Tom Arnold was the one who showed up with Vice.
Oh, God. What a fucking idiot.
He had a show on Vice called The Trump Tapes, and he was convinced that they were all there. And he kept showing up at Mark Burnett's offices. They told him to get fucked. But you're right, Dan. It's going to take somebody like that to do that.
But it's that's a passive way to do it. You don't have to have old school fucking fascist style book burning parties anymore. All you have to do is stop putting it on your channel.
Yeah.
Like, it's very passive, and they'll say that it's because, well, we just didn't get enough interest in it, and because they own the analytics to it as well, you'll never be able to say that, right?
It'll just quietly disappear.
Exactly. So what Jared was talking about, which is crazy, dude, and we went down a huge rabbit hole that night, was, let's say your wife or husband dies, right?
Yep.
You hit up one of your old flings that you used to date back in the day. Would you sit there and go through their nudes in bed with them and masturbate to what they looked like back when they were 30 as opposed to like 70?
Fuck yes.
No.
So it's could you do it? That's the thing. So this is what I said
could
to Jared.
I? Sure, yeah. I'll do anything. I don't give a shit. But I just don't see the utility in doing that. I would be more prone, because look, a woman of that age is going to be either set and doesn't want to do any weird shit anymore, or she's bored now and wants to do all the weird shit.
Right.
So I'm not going to sit around looking at fucking pictures with her. I'm going to be inviting other people in and watching them rail her, or suck my dick
but
or whatever
it,
the case
right,
is.
But it's but here's the point. And this is where it gets really fascinating, because this is what Jared said. At 70, it's not going to be like it is now, right? You're not going to, there's not going to be a team of people that want to gangbang your wife.
No, dude, you can find other people in your age group to fuck anywhere you go forever.
But that's not attractive. And that's what Jared
attractive
was saying.
Attractive to whom? It's attractive to
other
people,
I mean,
in their 60s and 70s.
You're probably going to be able to pull up one of these pictures and like and map their body in front of you.
Yeah, like a hologram.
With your little, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, look, we look like we used to. And then you just do it.
Yeah, that'd be dope.
Oh, man, that'd be weird, though.
I mean, they're already kind of doing that.
Yeah, but if you were lying next to your, if you were 70, she was 70, and then, you know.
I was seeing her at 30.
Yeah. Like, are you having sex with her and looking at her 30-year-old image?
Yeah, why wouldn't I want her to
look
at my
30-year-old image? You're missing a critical point of this, though, with the advances recently in anti-aging, HGH, and reversal of cellular degeneration.
Yep.
We may be able to come into a stasis period with regard to aging as human beings by that point. So we may be able to even, like, literally, the anti-aging thing is nonsense. The phrase is nonsense. You age no matter what. But
right.
You can certainly defeat a lot of the effects of it. Mm-hmm. And you're talking about broadcasting a hologram over a 3D image. I'm talking about making her look like she's in her 30s again when she's 70.
Oof. I think we're past that age, right? I think the next generation might have some shit like that. I think this age, probably not, but maybe the next generation.
I think we're more so going to go to the altered carbon style.
Maybe, yeah, but that's fine, too.
I think we're...
Explain that.
It's consciousness transference.
Yes. Yeah, so altered carbon, you had a stack. Your stack essentially was your consciousness and your brain, and then your sleeve was just a living organism body that was grown in a. I mean, Japan and China are already doing this right now, like growing. You know, they just got approved to merge a human and animal DNA.
Yes. So they're doing it with a monkey. It's not. I mean, it's approved
also,
by China, but no one else, obviously.
We're close to downloading consciousness too. So I think that comes in the next 20 years, and I think altered carbon comes true.
In our lifetime.
Yeah, we might. By the time we're 70, we might be able to go plug our brain in, scan it, put it onto a drive, and then put us into a new body.
Fuck. Whose body is it then?
It's a grown body.
It's whomever I want.
Yeah, you choose.
Like, you get to make the body.
Yeah, I want green eyes. I want to be thin. I want to be athletic. I want to be, you know.
Wow.
Give me another inch. Give me one more inch.
Yeah.
One more inch.
Everybody on Earth is going to be a fucking cyborg with a 10-inch dick.
Dude, once you completely map the human DNA system and are able to alter it and then grow it, you're just, I mean, it's just plug and play at that point.
Can you do that now? What's the DNA shit they're doing with babies now?
CRISPR babies.
CRISPR, yeah. Can you go into a CRISPR thing and be like, hey, I want my kid to have a big old dick?
You can't do dick yet. You can do eye color. You can do hair color. You can do, you know. Look, there is a rumor that celebrities are selling some of their genes and shit for
that's dope. They should.
Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. So, like, you know, if you wanted a Brad Pitt baby, you could have a Brad Pitt baby.
Yeah, but I also saw, too, like, now people are selling their rights to their image for eternity.
Yes.
So now you can say, okay, when I die, you now own Tom Cruise, and we have, you know, we have logged his voice, we've logged his body, his mm-hmm. expressions, his looks. We have 3D models of him. If we want him in movies, I've got to go to you and pay you to put him in a movie.
Can you imagine if Tom Cruise was 6'3"?
No. No, I can't. It'd be too much Cruise. I think Cruise is where he should
be. He's 5'4".
No, he's about 5'8" in real life.
No, he's not.
Yeah.
He's not 5'8".
5'8" is a respectable size.
Yeah, and he carries himself bigger, so I might even say 5'10". I might even bump it up. Cruise carries
himself.
He's
looking it up right now.
Yeah, he carries himself like a real man, like a real hombre. I'm a big Cruise
fan. He's got some machismo and some big old cojones.
Yep. He's got a lot of hubris in those balls.
Yeah, yeah. He's just got some arc in the dick.
He's 5'7".
Yeah.
That's basically a child.
Nah, he's fine. He's got enough. He's got enough juice to do whatever
he wants.
He's
got enough juice.
Yeah, so if you can do that and then transfer your consciousness, then essentially you could just live forever then, right?
Well, that's the whole thing in Altered Carbon was you had some people that were wealthy that are almost 350 years old.
Is that the Jonah Hill thing?
No, it's a Netflix original.
Yeah,
it's really good.
He was on this Netflix show, but I forgot.
Oh
the
no,
name
that
of
was
it,
a good one. Yeah,
yeah. It was with Emma Stone, I believe.
Yeah.
What was that?
They were wearing like futuristic suits. I just imagine it was.
It was.
Something
they
like
were
that.
Doing psych. They were doing testing of some kind of drug.
Jonah Hill.
Fuck. What
like
is the name?
Anything
of it?
With Jonah Hill in it.
You got
Maniac.
Thin. That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, I did like Wolf of Wall Street, but
yeah, Wolf of Wall Street's probably the greatest movie of all time.
It's a good one.
I'm a big fan. Good By one. The way, see The Joker. The Joker is absolutely fucking incredible.
I have no desire.
I know. It's weird, man. It's
over
one of the,
all these movies. Man.
I know. Here's the difference, though. It is not a comic book movie whatsoever. There's no CGI. There's nothing. Treat it like a two-hour drama, like a high-stakes drama where you're just like, holy shit.
Yeah, but it's just like I'm so bored of these characters.
You won't be in this because it's a different take on all of it where you're just like, oh, all right, cool, man. Like, you don't even see Bruce. You see Bruce Wayne for like 5 seconds or something as a child or whatever. But it was lights out. He's probably going to win the Oscar. And speaking of the anti.
You think.
Yes, 100%.
This is an Oscar movie?
Yes. I think it gets Best Picture. I don't know if it wins Best Picture, but it'll be nominated. And I think he wins Best Actor. It was a fucking 2 hours of just Joaquin Phoenix losing his shit, and it was amazing.
But Joaquin Phoenix is a white guy.
Yeah. Yeah. They're going to have to go back to white people eventually at the Oscars.
He's going
to
win an Oscar?
Yes. I think he will for this, and I don't, there's no way to stop him.
Everyone thought he was going to win for Her, too, and he didn't win.
I saw Her. I thought he should have won for Walk the Line and Gladiator. Remember Gladiator? God damn, he was nominated for Gladiator.
Oh, he was such a fucking cunt in Gladiator.
So yeah. Good.
Like, and if so you good. Can play that much of a cunt, like, yep. You're fucking dope. Yeah. Did you see his... What?
Go Walk ahead. The Line was great.
Yeah, I was going to say, did you see that really fucking kind of low-budget one that he did about, like, underground reporting?
Yes. Yeah. That was really fucking good.
That was fucking really good.
Yeah, man. And then, you know, look, he was nominated for The Master. The guy's been nominated for like 90 awards. He just doesn't give a shit about him. But I think this one.
I mean, there's no point to. I mean, I don't give a shit about him anymore either. Like, once, because they don't, they no longer mean what they're supposed to.
No.
You know?
And you're right. That started
with Kanye. You know what? Now that we firsthand know that it's not about being the best, this justifies Kanye's behavior at the fucking. now I'm not upset with it. You know, I told you this before.
Yeah,
I used to be like, I fucking hate Kanye West. What a fucking conceited asshole to get up on stage and fucking and do that to Taylor Swift. But now it's like, he has a fucking point. He walks up there and goes, wait, so she sold more records, did more downloads, did this, did that better than you, and you get the award. Why?
Yeah.
Well, look,
she won every category. She beat her out in every category. It's the same thing with the goddamn book.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
like, what is the award then?
Yeah.
Like,
Kanye gets a bad rap, and he has for a long time, but really, he's probably just a normal dude. Because we're so
that's
used to celebrities
as fuck.
Yeah, we're so used to celebrities being buttoned up and hiding their real feelings about things because they wanted to be PC and all this other bullshit. And he just like, look, if
he doesn't give a fuck.
If paparazzi was in my face getting in my shit all the time, I would smack the fuck out of somebody. Absolutely. There's no question about that. If one of my friends were to, for example, write a best-selling book.
Yes.
And for some reason, the New York Times
didn't put it at number one.
They put two women ahead of them just because.
Yeah.
Because.
Just because.
Right?
Because.
Then maybe I would use my rather large show to talk shit about them for the next 6 months.
Yeah.
and be a dick about it. Well, that's what we're doing in real life. That's what he's a real life guy. He's just doing real life shit.
Yeah.
But I see, but I mean, I see his frustration now. Like when you don't have context, and the American public didn't have context of this is such a conceited celebrity thing to do, dude, he had had it. And you know what? The balls to fucking, you know what? I'm going to take this microphone right now and I'm going to say my piece because this is bullshit.
Yeah.
Like that's commendable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Looking back at it now, you know, with all the hindsight we have and yes, what bullshit awards have become now.
It's not about numbers. It's not about being the best. It's not about did you outperform everything else? No, it's about we're just going to pick the one we want.
Yeah.
Okay, well then say that. Hey,
like if you're an artist and performer, you're trying to reach a goal, right? Like we feel like we do all this marketing and stuff and we reach X number of downloads or sales or whatever the case is, then we're good. We're number one.
Right.
That's the goal.
Yeah,
and you hit that goal, and you double that goal, triple it.
Yeah,
and then they're like, "Nah,
sorry,
suck our dicks."
Yeah, but it, to me, because it works like every other industry should work. Of like, hey, man, you try to be the best, you try to get the best sales or the best thing or whatever. Art is subjective, obviously, with music videos and movies and all of that shit. So, yeah, they can kind of do what they want, but the people at home know what's real and what's not real.
Oh, dude, this happened to a couple of my friends in the Air Force a while back ago. They both went to U.S. Army Sniper School as Air Force guys.
Mm-hmm.
They both achieved Top Gun, which was like honor grad.
So it is real, right?
Great. Well, the Army gave two Air Force guys Top Gun based on their scores, based on what they did. Then they went on a follow-on sniper course put on by the Air Force, which is primarily the Air Force cops. And these are two TACPs. They both outperformed everybody in the course, and they told them, oh, we're not doing the award this time.
Man. No shit. So what'd you get? A firm handshake?
It's people. Yeah, it's just people in that position abusing their power and being egomaniacs and being pieces of shit. Like,
fuck. So you don't get a plaque or anything like that anymore?
It's the same
certificate, but that's just the principle. Yeah. Oh, we're not doing the Top Gun Award on this class.
It's the same as badge protectors at like fucking badge schools in the military in general. Like when I was doing my expert infantry badge, one of the stations that you have to do is you have to call in an airstrike, or you call in indirect fire, and the guy's like, I did it all perfectly, exactly. Every fucking thing was like spot on. I had memorized it. You know how my brain works.
Sure.
I just went through it immediately. And he was like, well, you didn't pick up the hand mic on the table there. I'm like, this hand mic that's not attached to anything? He's like, yeah. So I picked it. I'm like, you got to be fucking kidding me. I was a private at the time. I picked it up and held it to my ear and stared at him in his eyes and said the whole thing over again. Like, get fucked, dude.
So what happens after that?
After that, I got an expert infantry badge.
Really?
Yeah.
That's funny, man.
But still, that's fucking stupid.
Dude, people want to inject their piece in everything instead of like leaving something alone and being like, all right, you met the criteria, you're good. It's like, I need to speak to feel like I'm worth something. Well, I need to add something in. It's like, yeah, I mean, I mean, I even got on some of our own people because it was like, they would come back, here are my changes, and here are my notes, and here are my notes. Okay, none of this makes the piece any better, and you can't justify that. I'm not changing it. Like, because you don't even know. You're just writing shit down to make it look like you work.
Yeah, but that's, 95% of people, I guess, throughout the day. By the way, I saw that photo of you teaching class. Is that weird going back and doing that?
No, it was fun. It took me a minute to kind of get back in that mode, like to get out of this mode of we can say and do whatever we want. And I'm on a military base talking to young Air Force guys. So, I had to kind of gather a clear message for them. But they had a lot of really good questions. So I was impressed with.
But let me ask you this, because everybody knows you and knows all of the things that you guys do. Was that weird afterwards that they come up and be like, hey, man, we listen to this, or we love Black Rifle Coffee, or?
No, I mean, it's just that that age group is such a gap, though. These, you know, these guys are 16 years younger than me.
Yeah, but and that's so what it's I, like. That's what I wonder. Like, does it carry over like your sketches and the coffee and all that stuff?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. It does. I mean, there was a lot of people that listened to our show. There was a good portion, and then, you know, the other half was like, wait, there's a show that we're missing out on. Oh man, you got to tell me about this.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we really need to start geofencing all the military bases with ads.
So here's the thing. They've been locked in there for 2 months. So the first question I got was, hey, what guests have you guys had on Drinking Bros that we wouldn't know about? And I was like, oh, so you guys don't know we got Alex Jones. And the whole room goes, what?
No way.
Yeah, so they've been out 60 days. So they didn't know about some of the stuff.
What phase are they in? Where are they?
No, that's basic training. They're graduating.
Oh, they're in basic training, I see.
So, yeah.
That's fucking rad, man. Really funny. Yeah, imagine, yeah, you don't know anything about the show, and then all of a sudden you pop on that Alex Jones episode, and that's your welcome to Drinking Bros.
Yeah.
Whew.
Yeah.
Let's get to the Drinking Bro of the Week, shall we? This one's going to go out to a good buddy of ours, actually. This one's going out to Dakota Meyer. Last night, and look, we talk about other shows like, you know, Joe Rogan a lot because we're fans, yeah. And I don't think there's anything wrong with us being fans of other podcasts, being a big podcast.
Not at all. Like, I love him.
We love him. We love Joe Rogan. And
I love Dakota Show.
Yeah, so do I. And it was surreal to see Dakota Meyer on Joe Rogan last night.
So
and I was
cool.
Like, holy shit. And it's a great, great fucking episode.
Yeah,
so if you get a chance to check out Dakota Meyer on Joe Rogan, I highly recommend it. The other thing, man, that I was super amped about was when it, you know, I subscribed to him, obviously. So when it popped up on my phone last night, I was able to look it up and I was like, oh my God, it's fucking Dakota, right? And I, instead of listening to it on the phone, I just popped it up on YouTube on the TV and watched it, man. And that was just a fucking awesome 2 hours, dude.
That's so cool.
It was really good. Actually, someone approached me in the apartment complex and saw me wearing the Black Rifle hoodie this morning. I was walking my dogs around. They're like, oh, do you like that coffee? I'm like, yeah, here's the story. Blah, blah, blah. I just gave her the details.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, yeah, listen to Rogan. Is your show anything like that? I'm like, no, but actually our buddy was just on yesterday.
Yeah.
And she goes, oh, Dakota. I'm like, yeah. And she was like, oh, my God, that's the best episode he's ever done.
I know. A lot of people said that. Oh, yeah.
It really hit home for a lot of people. He says a lot of very poignant things. Dakota's want to do. He says a lot of poignant. He's a good speaker. So
he's a great public speaker, and he goes around the nation all the time. We're going to have him on the show at some point. It's one of those things where we've
He just lives down the road from me. Yeah.
I know. It's one of those things where we've been buddies with him for so long. You always forget that you're like, oh man, he's got one of, you know, the craziest lives of all time. Yep. And we'll get him on the show eventually. It's not anything intentional, obviously. Dude, it's just a friend where you're just like, oh yeah, fuck, your life is amazing. Like we should really sit down and chat about it. And so again, when he popped up on Rogan, I was like, oh my God, holy shit. It was awesome to see. So shout out to Dakota Meyer, man. And if you're out there and you have not seen or heard it, go to Joe Rogan Experience and check it out. It's a fantastic episode.
It is
great.
That
is awesome. I was so excited to see that.
Same.
Next is Matt.
And I hope so, right?
Yeah, we'll see.
It's got to go down, I would imagine, right? At this point?
Hopefully.
I feel like every picture between Rogan and Evan and Matt and everybody at this point involves everybody we've hung out with. It's Matt's turn. We've got to get Matt on the show.
That'll be a good one.
Yeah, hopefully that shakes out. Fun episode. Start taking nudes. A lot of them of your girlfriends.
You're
going
to need them when you're older.
You're
and timestamp those, too. Put the date on there so you know exactly when it was.
Exactly. Or, look, your iPhone keeps those dates. You're fine
and
on
take,
that.
And take portrait mode nudes. That way it has the data to 3D wrap.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Just in case you want to put that nude on your car at some point.
Yeah.
Or on a blank Android body.
Could you imagine wrapping a nude of your ex-girlfriend like in your car? That would be the ultimate fuck you. And then you pull up at her new boyfriend's house and you're in your wrapped car, completely nude of her. And you're like, hey.
Oh, my God.
It's just on the hood and you get up on the hood and start fucking. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, I heard you're dating Stacy. Yeah. Guess what? Here she is on a Ford Fiesta. you fuck. For Jared Taylor, D'Anthony D'Anthony Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Drinking Bros. Good night, everyone.